You're listening to the Big Skin Federation podcast with James Parsons and Brian Stroud. Pigskin Federation podcast. This is episode 4. This is Brian Stroud and James Parsons. We welcome you this week. In this episode of the Pigskin Federation podcast, we're going to discuss the top 3 pick results of week 15. Also, the top 5 overall picks thus far. The road to playoffs now and upcoming. We have new segments during the short with James. When he has a discussion today, and I will be doing my segment, the lay of game, when I will also be doing a segment of a discussion this week. So let's go ahead, let's get the show on the road, and let's talk some football. And now, James, we are going to talk about the top 3 15-week picks. How's it looking? How was the week 15 results?
With week 15, it was really great. I mean, we had Bryn winning with a record of 9-7. Myself and Kevin tied with 8-8. Those were the top 3 this week. Matter of fact, they were the only 3 people over 500 who picked all 16 games.
All right. Yeah, I know we had a few people last week who forgot a game or two, but that happens.
Oh, yeah. It's not the first time.
Ain't going to be the last.
Funny story, though. Like, I was one of the people who did. I sent him a message, and he's like, "Oh, I purposely forgot to pick that game." And I was like, "Oh, okay, you know, no problem. You know, you got something against," he was like, "Cincinnati," or I think that was the team. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding. And he's like, "I totally forgot. Thanks for reminding me." So it's funny, like, you know, they're not mad. They're just kind of like making fun of it.
I was one of them. So, I mean, I guess when I was going back and, you know, making my picks, I accidentally did something twice and I copied them over wrong. It happens. This is how it looks overall as of right now. Right now, myself is in the lead with 146. Kevin is in the lead with 145. Bryn is at 138. James is at 132, and Chris is at 130. That's our top 5 right now in the hunt. From 6 to 13, though, hey, you still can catch up, but right now, that's just a top 5.
Yeah, I'm so glad that somebody... I'm glad that guy forgot to pick. I'm 4th, he's 5th, so that would have... If he had gotten that pick right, oh, man, he would have been like 1 game behind me. Give me some breathing room.
This is so much better than it was last year. It's so stiff and it's so tough, and everybody is neck and neck.
Tell me about it. Anybody in the top 9 can win this thing.
Yep, that is true. That is true, and everybody's going to the Super Bowl as well, so it's still anybody's game. Now we're going to talk about the road to the playoffs, now and upcoming. James, go ahead and let's give everybody the letdown. What's going on in the NFL? How is the records looking?
All right, with the AFC playoff picture, we've got New England in first position with a record of 11-3, which we'll get into how they can keep that number 1 seed throughout the playoffs. Number 2 is Baltimore with a record of 10-4. They are still atop the AFC North Division, pending unless Pittsburgh wins and they lose. They will still go on to win that division, I believe. Houston's number 3, also with a record of 10-4. They are the AFC South champions. So they've got their instant playoff berth. We have Denver with 8-6, leading the AFC West. So... That rounds out like kind of like the division winners. We have in the wild card spots the Pittsburgh Steelers, pending that they don't win the division. They'll have the fifth spot with a record of 10-4, which will be the team with the most wins in the wild card spot. Right now we have the New York Jets at 8-6 in the last playoff spot. But if the Jets do lose on Sunday and Cincinnati does beat a hot Arizona team, Cincinnati will take over that spot. So that's going to be the spot to watch. I think the top five or the five seeds in the AFC out of the six are pretty much already to be determined. So that sixth spot with 2 weeks to go, that's the only one we're waiting for to just close up and finalize. So that'll be the two teams to watch if you're going to watch any AFC games this week. Now, over on the NFC side, we have Green Bay, 13-1. Finally, Kansas City took their perfect record. Yeah, it was totally great to watch. I mean, you kept thinking, you seen the score, and you're like, oh, they're going to come back, and then they would come back, and then Kansas City would come back. And we'll get into that more later about that game. Then you have San Francisco with the second seed at 11-3. Exactly. It's been like, what, 2002, I think?
I think so, 2001, 2002. Let's just say it's been a decade. It's been a decade, almost.
Yeah, so maybe this is the start they need. You have Dallas in the fourth spot at 8-6. Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to keep it, but the Giants do
I doubt it. It's the Cowgirls we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants still have to do some work. They have to win their next two games, obviously, to get in, which includes their last game is beating Dallas. So that would give them a spot. But Atlanta and Detroit are holding up the wild cards, both with records of 9-5. I don't know how far these two teams will go, but right now they look to be that's how it looks now. Now, I will explain something to you explain how the playoff berth can be clinched this week. Starting with the AFC, if New England can win their game and have either Pittsburgh or Baltimore both lose, or if Houston loses, that will clinch them a first-round bye. But in order for them to get the home field advantage throughout the playoffs, they need Houston, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore to lose.
It's interesting. It's really an interesting season, the way it's looking. I'm still hoping that the Houston Texans can go all the way to the Super Bowl.
I would love to see Houston go to the Super Bowl. For a team, to my knowledge, it's never been, even under the Oilers franchise. I'm not really sure that they've ever been.
No.
Now, with Baltimore this week, they can clinch the North Division title as long as they win their game and Pittsburgh were to lose their game. However, they can also clinch a first-round bye this week with an additional step. Not only win their game and Pittsburgh lose their game, but Houston would also have to lose.
So Houston would also have to lose.
Yeah, so if you look at it, it's almost like the Patriots and the Eagle, or the Patriots and the Ravens, my bad, are like enemies this week, because New England needs Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Houston to lose, so they can get home field advantage and a first-round bye. Baltimore, to get the first-round bye, has to have Pittsburgh and Houston lose, but they have to win. Mm. So, I mean, so that's an interesting scenario there, like how that's going to work. And for the final Week 16 scenario for the AFC, to clinch the AFC West division title, Denver would have to win their game and have Oakland lose. Or Denver could actually go into a tiebreaker this week, which I'm sure Tim Tebow would love, just to go into a tie, and have Oakland and San Diego lose. They can clinch the AFC West division. Wow. Now, they can also clinch a playoff berth pending this, and this requires a lot of work. I'm not even sure they'll clinch the playoff berth this week. Denver would need not only to win their game, but have the Jets lose their game, Cincinnati Cincinnati lose the game, Tennessee lose or tie their game. That's the AFC playoff picture right now.
Now let's talk about the NFC playoff picture. Now how's that looking?
Well, the NFC, it seems a whole lot simpler. To clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs for Green Bay, all Green Bay has to do is win. It's simple. Win and you're in. For New Orleans to clinch the NFC South Division title, all they have to do is win. For San Francisco to clinch a first-round bye, they just have to win and New Orleans has to lose. So there, once again, you have San Francisco and New Orleans practically competing to finish up their season's work. Dallas, to clinch the NFC East Division title, has to win their game, and the Giants would have to lose. And for Atlanta, they can clinch a playoff berth. The easiest way for them to clinch a playoff berth, no kidding, is win and you're in. Same thing with Detroit. Win and you're in.
Not that exciting, is it?
It's not really exciting. I mean, they also have other playoff scenarios, such as Atlanta. They would need another way for them to clinch a playoff berth is have Dallas, Chicago, and Arizona all lose. Or they could have the Giants, Chicago, and Arizona all lose. Now, I think Chicago and Arizona could possibly lose. I would almost hope Dallas loses just because I want to see the Giants make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's because we simply don't like Dallas.
Oh, well, yeah. I
not the main reason, though, because mostly we want to see the Jets or the Giants in the playoffs. My bad.
I don't want to see the Jets in the playoffs.
Me neither. We'll discuss why in just a minute.
Now, for Detroit, here's some of their complicated scenarios. There's a lot of stuff here, okay? They need Chicago, Arizona, Seattle, and Dallas to lose. That could get them in. Or Chicago, Arizona, Seattle, and the Giants to lose. Or Chicago, Arizona, Atlanta, and Seattle to lose. So it pretty much breaks down to this. Chicago, Arizona, and Seattle, if they all lose, then you just need Dallas or the Giants or Atlanta to lose, and they could get in there. Or they could just win a game. Like I said, it's as simple as winning your end for most of these things.
That's the way it usually goes, when you're in, you know. I mean, but
yeah, I think the Packers was probably the best person to point out that metaphor, winning your end. I mean, what was it? Oh, man, what was it? 15 weeks? 14 playoffable weeks? That they were undefeated on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping they'd go undefeated in a way I can't really see here and say not, because it seems like ever since they won that Super Bowl, they've been unstoppable, but, you know, the Chiefs took them down. Which, I believe that's it of this segment. Don't you, James? Are we ready to move on to the next segment?
Yeah, there's not a third conference in football, man. It's the end,
you know, unless you want to talk about the Colts and how they suck, which maybe later on we will. Who knows? But now, what are we going to talk about? What's on our agenda now? Let's see here. Let's discuss the fantasy championship over on NFL.com. We have now made it to our Super Bowl. And the way it is looking here, you're going to have Corey Forrester going up against Sam Hubbard this week. So that is what is going down in the league. Let's go ahead and discuss, you know, who my win is in the championship. Thunder Chickens or the Rooster Masters to be G-rated. I'm going to put my money on the Thunder Chickens this week. I'm going to go for the Thunder Chickens. What about you, James?
I'm just looking at the rosters. I think it's going to be close. From what I'm looking at here, the projections via NFL.com Fantasy Game Center, It actually has the Thunder Chickens winning 127-96. But what I'm looking here is I don't see how they have Brandon Lloyd, a wide receiver for St. Louis, on the Thunder Chickens, and they expect him to get 12.9 points. And they're going up against the Steelers.
Amazing. I mean,
they have a great defense. I mean, I just don't see.
It's all good. It's all great.
I think it's just going to be too close because these projections, I think, especially that 12.9, I think it's probably over under six. I think he may get 6 points on that.
Mm-hmm.
His biggest playmaker is going to be Ray Ross against Cleveland. So if the good Cleveland shows up that almost beat Arizona, this could be a game for Baltimore, and their offense might not see that much time on the field. So, I mean, 127-96, I think we're looking at more of a 100-80 game. I think there's 30 points on the Thunder Chickens that'll be there that shouldn't be, and 16 points on the Roosters. Rooster Masters that maybe shouldn't be there. So I'm going to say somebody's going to get, it's going to be 180, 90.8 to like 90.4. It's going to be a close game. But congratulations to both contestants.
Congratulations, Corey and Sam.
It looks like Sam here has got a winning streak of one. Yeah, Sam's got a winning streak of one, and Corey's got a losing streak of one. I'm not sure how that worked since he got into the championship. I think they've been on, that was probably the regular season, and it looks like they made some improvements. I mean, to be ranked number 7 and ranked number 5, you're playing for the championship. That's pretty special. So,
Sam has a record of 8-5, and Corey has a record of 7-6. So, you know, good luck, guys, and make the best team win. At this time, we would now like to give a shout-out, a thumbs-up, and a congratulations to Kansas City and their new head coach, Romeo, for their victory this week. His first week on the job, they defeat the Green Bay Packers and break their winning streak. Now, I just think that's absolutely amazing. First week on the job, and he brings a win and beats the number one team in the NFL. What about you, James?
I think that's a great accomplishment, being the interim head coach. I would almost say that could help secure him a spot in Kansas City as the permanent head coach, at least for next season or whenever he were to be so inclined to either move forward or the organization wanted to move forward without him. I mean, he has coaching experience, so I think that plays a plus. He just now knocked off the only undefeated team in the NFL for up until week 15. So, I mean, I think that's two positives going for him. I believe he was fired, though, from Cleveland, so that's kind of like a negative. So it's just going to have to play out. I think there's going to be some critics watching Kansas City's game, just see how well he coaches and he can keep them in games that some people think they can't win. So, also, Kyle Orton is going to help that team. So, if he can work with Kyle Orton really well, and Kyle Orton is still on fire, who knows? Romeo Crennel could be the head coach for years to come.
Ditto. Now, we're going to move on to another segment of our podcast called Third and Short with James. James, go ahead.
Thank you, Brian. I just want to get something really quick off my chest. What Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts did this Sunday is inexcusable. It is a head game that not even I, the master of head games, can figure out. Before the game, if you were ever viewing NFL.com, there was an article that Peyton Manning seemed hopeful that he was going to come back before the end of the regular season. They were 0-13 up to this point. As soon as they knew they had the cat in the bag and they had beaten the Tennessee Titans and they were no longer the only undefeated losing team, they say, no, he's not medically cleared. and his passes are not really that great. Coming from running back Joseph Addai, he's saying, yeah, his long passes aren't that great, but his short stuff is really, really good, and it's really good enough to play, is what Joseph Addai said. So my question is, why put out two conflicting reports and then have Joseph Addai say it's great? Here's my opinion on the matter. It's just simply the Colts wanted Peyton Manning to come back, risk further injury, so they didn't have to feel like they were the new generation's Detroit Lions. And Peyton, he is just as stupid to even think about coming back, because even if he came back and won them one more game, they would be tied with the Rams, and I'm pretty sure the Colts would still somehow win the tiebreaker and get Andrew Luck. That's the only reason Peyton doesn't want the Colts to have the number one overall pick. He knows they're going to take Andrew Luck because his deal in March, he's supposed to get $28 million, and the Colts may or may not decide to give him that $28 million. Plus, he would have to almost go into free agency or come up with a salary cap-friendly contract. So Peyton Manning is trying to do everything so they do not get Andrew Luck, so he can stay with the team and he can be the leader. And Indianapolis is so stupid. It's like, because you don't want to be 0-13 or 0-14. We all get that. I'm pretty sure the Detroit Lions didn't want to be 0-16 that season. And if they could have had somebody come back to make them win a game, yeah, sure, they probably would have done it. But the simple fact is, I'm pretty sure now if Andrew Luck, since he's going to Stanford, I'm pretty sure he has the intelligence to know that you sucked this entire season just to get him, just so you can get rid of Peyton Manning and his big money deal. So I have no respect for the Colts, and I've lost all respect for Peyton Manning, just as a player and as a fan. Thank you, and this has been Third and Short.
And now we're going to move into my segment, which is called the Lay of Game. And in this segment, I'm going to discuss the fat, big mouth, no good, piece of crap Rex Ryan. Why do I not like Rex Ryan? Well, it's kind of simple, really, because all he does is talk crap. In 09, we're going to the Super Bowl. Did they? No. Then after that, we're going to the Super Bowl. Did they? No. After they beat the Colts last year, all I heard him talk about was how he beat, quote-unquote, Peyton Manning. Never said anything about beating the Colts. It was more of beating Peyton Manning than anything else. We're going to the Super Bowl. Did they go to the Super Bowl? No. All he talks about is going to a Super Bowl when he ain't been there yet. You need to shut up and stop talking, going to a Super Bowl, get your head out of your butt, stop sucking your wife's feet, and actually motivate your players to go to the Super Bowl and actually win the Super Bowl. That's all you talk about is going. Let's stop talking about going to a Super Bowl. Let's get it done, and let's do it! And that would be the Lay of Game with Brian. And we're coming closely to an end with this episode of the Pigskin Federation. And at this time, James and myself would like to wish our federation and each of our listeners a very Merry Christmas. We hope Santa Claus is really good to you.
And a Happy New Year.
And, you know, a Happy New Year as well. But are we not doing the podcast next week?
It just depends on the week. Like, if nothing really major happens.
As of right now, we're going to close out to the first of the year. Unless anything important happens, we're not going to do a podcast next week. We're going to take my time off for Christmas and New Year's so we can enjoy the holidays with our families and everything. But like we said, if anything important happens, we will have an episode.
Also, if you have any comments, suggestions, or questions, line groms, moans, complaints, please send them to pigskinfederation@gmail.com. Also log on to our website, pigskinfederation.webs.com.
And if you are interested in checking out our Facebook page, it's Pigskin Federation on Facebook. Just look us up. And we are going to be soon opening up the group. Right now it's a closed group, but we'll be opening up the group up next year. So if you're interested in becoming a member and being a part of the Pick'em part of our Federation, you are more than welcome to send us an email. Let us know you're interested as well. We have so many new upcoming changes to this. It's so exciting. We're going to be doing a basketball, a hockey, and a baseball podcast. So stay tuned about that. And I guess at this time, we will go ahead in this week's episode of the Pigskin Federation Podcast. Once again, this is Brian Stroud, and we are signing off. Good night, God bless you, and happy Christmas!